Would you like to turn to Ezekiel chapter 37? Ezekiel chapter 37, and we're going to read the first 14 verses. And I've entitled this The Valley of Potential, because I know Julie likes titles. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones, I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet in a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone, we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, This is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. I think that most of us would agree that, in general, the Christian church in Britain and maybe elsewhere in the West is going through quite a rough time. We live in a very secular society that doesn't give much thought to God. And if they do think about the church, it's usually that we're a bunch of sanctimonious hypocrites. Some of the disputes and decisions that the established church has made in the last few years have only gone to reinforce this view. And the result is, again in general terms, the church is disillusioned and appears to be engaged in a desperate battle to survive in a hostile environment. I say that's the case in general because there are pockets within the church that seem to be doing all right. There are some churches that seem to be thriving and are displaying growth and vitality. However, these are comparatively few and far between. And even these thriving churches are not making much of an impact on society in general. But however bad the situation looks from our standpoint, it's not a new situation. The people of God have always had a very precarious relationship with the world and have always had to struggle against the inherent tendency of mankind to want to do things in his own way and without God. It was true of the people of Israel, even back to their beginning with Abraham, and it continues for them even to this present day. From our text tonight, I want to look at one such time, when Israel was, once again, in a very difficult position, and to show what God did at that time. And from that, I want us to gain encouragement that, bad as the situation may appear to us today, God has it all in hand. The prophet Ezekiel was born in Israel in 622 BC. His father was a priest, and so it was natural that Ezekiel followed him and also became a priest. And as it was the custom, at the age of 30, Ezekiel took up his priestly duties. But almost immediately, God spoke to him in a great vision that left him speechless for a full week. In this vision, God called him to be his prophet to Israel. And for the next 20 years or so, Ezekiel had a very personal and very traumatic time as a prophet of the Lord to a people who really didn't want to know. But life had not been easy for Ezekiel even before this call of God. The Lord allowed the Babylonians under the king Nebuchadnezzar to invade Israel and take the vast majority of the Israelites into captivity in Babylon. This happened in 597 BC. And so you mathematicians will be able to work out that at that time the young trainee priest was just 25 years of age. So after spending 5 years in captivity in a foreign and pagan land, Ezekiel becomes a priest and receives his call from God to be his prophet. And instead of great rejoicing as he reached his 30th birthday, no doubt Ezekiel joined his fellow captives in singing Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while we're in a foreign land? So Ezekiel is ministering as a prophet to a people who were discouraged, disillusioned, and despairing. A people who thought God had abandoned them. A people who struggled to keep their beliefs and their customs in a land that was totally hostile to them. In a pagan and secular land, a land that didn't know the Lord God of Israel and had no intention of getting to know him. In short, they were in a spiritual situation that's somewhat similar to the situation in which the Christian church finds herself today. It was against this background that God spoke to Ezekiel in our text tonight. The Lord gave Ezekiel a vision that was so intense that it appeared real to him. In his vision, he was taken to a valley that was full of bones. And the Lord made him walk among these bones, passing to and fro amongst them. Now, a priest was not allowed to touch a dead body, so it was a great shock to Ezekiel to have to walk among these dead things. But even worse was that these bones were very dry, indicating that they were very old. The birds of the air and the scavenging animals had picked them clean, and then the sun over many years had bleached them, so they were white and dried, and probably very brittle. And because of this, it was obvious that the bodies that these bones once were had been left unburied, and this was a source of even greater anguish to Ezekiel than it would be to us. Proper burial was paramount in ancient Near East cultures. To be deprived of a proper burial is the final insult to the dead person. It was a destiny fit only for the truly cursed. These bones, therefore, were not only evidence of death, but of death under the curse. And we really can't appreciate the horror that Ezekiel experienced at this time. Today, the media brings us pictures of death and destruction almost daily. Our news programs often contain pictures of mass graves that have been discovered, of bombs and the aftermath, with body parts littering the streets. We're seeing pictures every day of the death and the destruction going on in the Middle East. We see pictures of natural disasters when thousands are killed and they're displayed impassively on national TV. Recently, we've been remembering the Battle of the Somme, when thousands of brave soldiers were killed in one dreadful day. And even today, 100 years later, their remains are sometimes turned up by some French farmer ploughing his land. In a spot somewhere in Egypt, there is the site of the Battle of El Alamein, an important battle in World War II. Here, many British and Germans were killed, and a lot of their bodies were never recovered. Their bones, including the bones of my own father, are still there, somewhere in the desert. But even all of this doesn't convey to us the horror that confronted Ezekiel in this vivid and terrible vision. He was confronted with the terrible sight of thousands and thousands of bones, obviously human, and scattered about aimlessly and in no particular order, with no indication of which bone belonged to which bone, It was Ezekiel. It was as Ezekiel wandered to and fro among this appalling horror that God asked him the question, "Son of man, can these bones live?" What a question. How on earth can these ancient bones ever live again? But Ezekiel was learning that God never asked that questions. So with great diplomacy, Ezekiel replies, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." And the Lord's response seemed even more absurd. "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now we know that the ear has got many bones, but we also know that bones don't have ears. So how ridiculous to speak to bones, very dry and old bones. But as we said, Ezekiel knew better than to argue with God, and in what must be the greatest understatement of all times, he reports, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." No magical incarnations, no great prayers, no much religious language. He just spoke to the bones, in ordinary words, just what God had commanded. Just the living God, word of God invading the valley of the shadow of death. And then Ezekiel records in graphic detail what happened. There was a rustling and a clicking sound, and bone came to bone. Not just any bone to any bone, but the correct bone to the correct bone. Then muscles and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, and it became a mighty sea of human bodies. But they were still dead human bodies. Then God commanded Ezekiel to prophesy again to these dead bodies, and to call upon the breath to come from the four winds, from the north and the south, from the east and the west, and to breathe into these dead bodies. And they lived. They arose, a vast and mighty army. Now doesn't that remind you of creation? Of when God took the dust from the ground and fashioned it into the shape of a man, and then God took that man-shaped piece of dust and breathed life into it, and it became alive. And that's what he's doing here. That's what he was showing Ezekiel. He's showing him that what appears dead and lifeless can be shaped and formed by God, can have the divine breath breathed into it, and it can live. And then the Lord goes on to explain to Ezekiel that this is a picture of what he is going to do for Israel. The quotation in verse 11 tells us what Israel thought of herself. Israel said to herself, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off." But God is showing Ezekiel that Israel is not like the valley of dried bones. Instead, it's as if she was buried in the grave of exile. That God is going to open the grave and restore her back to her own land and make her a great nation again. Those dead bones would stand up as a mighty army, and they would know it was only by the Spirit of the Lord that this could take place. The modern church is very much like Israel at the time of Ezekiel. We sit in our churches and we lament. How can we sing the songs of Zion in a pagan and secular land? We feel that our bones are dried up, that we've almost lost our hope, and we feel cut off. We wonder if we're ever going to see God glorified in this land in which we live. But I believe that God has raised the modern Ezekiel, but not as a single man. God is speaking through many of his people today. Over the years, there have been many prophetic words brought with regard to what God has promised for this Dearne Valley. The message that the Lord is giving to this valley is the same that was given to Ezekiel. But it's also accompanied by a challenge. God is inviting us, his church, to look over this Dearne Valley, and he's asking us what we see. And remembering that we're addressing Almighty God, we have to be honest. And being honest, when we look over this valley, we see dry bones. We see the bones of churches that used to be on nearly every street. I'm sure that we can all name churches in our immediate area that maybe 30 or 40, were there maybe 30 or 40 years ago, but they're no longer there. I can name half a dozen churches from this Dearne Valley that have closed in the last few years. Only this very week I've heard of another church in the Dearne Valley which is closed. This very building that we're in at the moment used to be a Methodist church until it closed down, and now we've taken over the building. But we must admit that what has happened is that where there were two churches, there is now only one. We see the bones of faithful Christians who never saw what they hoped for. We see the bones of Sunday schools and youth work that used to be. We see the bones of those days when everyone respected the church and when just about everyone knew of the things of God. But I also believe that God is showing us what he sees when he looks over this valley. Just as he did not see a valley of dry bones where he took Ezekiel, he doesn't see a valley of dry bones in the Dearne Valley. Just as he saw the mighty army to come in Israel, he sees the mighty work, the mighty army, that will come in this valley. He sees his people strong and confident. He sees the old and the young coming to know him. He sees the rich and the poor, the haves and the have-nots, joining together as the family of God. He sees his church strong and relevant. He sees his church full of people. And I believe he's asking us the same question that he asked Ezekiel. Can these bones live? I believe he's looking for the same answer from Ezekiel that Ezekiel gave. O Sovereign Lord, you alone know. And it's time for us to stop relying upon what we see with our natural eyes, what our human reasoning tells us. It's time to start and see with the spiritual eyes that God has given to each and every one of us. It's time to see what God sees. But God also expects a response from us in a different way. When he asked that question of Ezekiel and received Ezekiel's reply, God didn't start work on the dry bones straight away. He didn't just click his fingers and start the show. What he did was to command Ezekiel to prophesy over the bones, to prophesy what the Lord had said. And it was when Ezekiel did this that things started to happen. And I believe that we need to start and prophesy over this Dearne Valley of dry bones. I believe we need to prophesy the words the Lord has said, the promises he's made, both to his church and to this valley. I'm confident that God has sent his prophets to this church, to his church. Men and women of God who have brought the word of the Lord, who have delivered the promises of God. We need to remember what God has said and believe that he means to do what he says. And most of you do know the promises he's made about the Dearne Valley. And we are seeing progress, both in our own church and in the churches in our area. Our church is growing numerically and spiritually as we follow the leading of the Lord. We've seen a growth in the churches meeting and working together in this valley. And the Lord is asking of us, Son of Man, can the church grow? And our answer has got to be the same as Ezekiel, Lord, you alone know. But he expects us to do what he commanded Ezekiel and to prophesy over the church. O church, hear the word of the Lord. A few years ago, over the course of 8 months or so, people from 7 or 8 churches, including this church, walked and prayed and claimed the length of the River Dearne for God. And the River Dearne rises near Huddersfield, runs down through Breton, Barnsley, Darfield and Bolton on Dearne and joins the River Don at Doncaster. Prophesy to the River Dearne. O River Dearne, hear the word of the Lord. Christians in the valley are prayer walking and claiming the streets where they live and around their churches. Now is the time to claim those things that God has promised. O streets of the valley, hear the word of the Lord. Begin to look with the eyes of faith. Come to church and refuse to see the empty seats. Instead, see what God has promised, that every seat will be filled, not just on special occasions, but for every service. O seats, hear the word of the Lord. Don't just see the faithful remnant clinging on each week, but see the new people that God is going to bring in. O people of this valley, hear the word of the Lord. Don't drive through these streets and see all the problems and the troubles. Instead, see the lost souls that God is going to save and add to his church. O lost souls, hear the word of the Lord. Don't be downhearted because this is an hard area. What is hard to the God that brings back to life the dead, dry bones of Ezekiel? Don't just accept that everything stays the same and nothing changes. See that God is doing things that we can never imagine or conceive. Don't moan about this dead and dark place, but rejoice that this valley is going to experience great revival. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, O Church of God, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, from the north, from the south, from the east and from the west, O breath, and breathe in to these slain, that they may live. God moved when Ezekiel did as he was asked. And God can do anything he wishes without involving us at all. He can make this church grow. He can save all the people. He can bring revival just by speaking the word. He could have brought those bones to life by just clicking his fingers. But he used Ezekiel, and he wishes to use us. So let's rise to the challenge. Let's start to look at the things with the eyes of faith. Let's see this church full. Let's see people being saved each week. Let's see baptismal services every month as people queue up to be baptized. Let's see revival completely change this town and this valley. We can look upon this valley in which we live, and we can see a valley of dry bones. Or we can look at this valley and see a valley of potential. People of God, look at this valley. Look at this land, and what do you see? Do you see a valley of dry bones, of death and of desolation? Or do you see a valley of potential? Do you see what God can do and what God really intends to do? Do you see the church as a dry, irrelevant pile of old bones blown here and there by every passing breeze of popular culture and by the spirit of the age? Or do you see the church, do you see this church, the whole Christian church, as a mighty army empowered by God, filled with his Holy Spirit, and a force to be reckoned with in this world? What do you see? Rise up, O church, and believe that God has great plans for his church here in this valley of potential. You can look with the eyes of faith and see such an enormous valley of potential, or you can look with the eyes of the world and be despondent, just as Ezekiel was. But listen to what God is saying. O church, prophesy over this valley. Amen.